Let's talk about Sukkos for a little bit. Sukkos is called Zman Simchasenu, time of our rejoicing. You could have a few different understandings to that. On the one hand, it's coming after everything has been reaped, right, gathered in. It's called Chag Asif. Everything's brought into the house now. If you live in an agrarian society, in a society that works upon agriculture and the like, it's time of tremendous simcha. I mean, you know, Baruch Hashem, the crops have been picked, the fruits, the grains, the grapes, the oil, the olives turned into oil, the grapes turned into wine, etc. Time of tremendous simcha. On the other hand, well, perhaps not on the other hand, but in addition, there's another aspect to it. The idea of simcha is very prominent in Sukkos, also because you just left Yom Kippur. You just left Yom Kippur. And having left Yom Kippur, there's no more exhilarating, more exciting feeling other than the fact that I've shed all this extra garbage, this baggage that I didn't want. Again, realize that in Yom Kippur, you've done tshuva, okay? You've been through Yom Kippur. That means automatically you have, if you were at all sincere about your tshuva, and I'm sure everybody was to one degree or another, so you've shed any negation of positive commandments. You've shed any prohibitions, regular lavin, eating treif, wearing shatnez, and lots of other lavin as well, right, the 365. Even if, God forbid, a person were over on Avera, which requires as part of it the cleansing process, what they call Yisurim, difficult moments, unpleasant moments, as part of the cleansing process. But maybe we could have experienced that before, and it adds up with the tshuva and the Yom Kippur. And even if not, but we're two-thirds of the way through with tshuva and Yom Kippur. In other words, it's just the last little bit of stain that needs to be removed. And again, what determines Yisurim, that the Rebbe Shlomo determines. It doesn't necessarily mean it's safe, that's got to fall out of the roof, right? Turning one into frittata doesn't mean that, right? You don't like frittata? What? It's a frittata. It's an egg dish, sort of like that. Never mind. Okay. Shakshuka. Okay. It's an exhilarating day. That generates simcha. Simcha is a prominent point in Sukkos. We know that, for instance, when the Rambam talks about this simcha in mitzvahs, he uses Sukkos as the model. The dancing of Yom Yerushalayim, right, during Sukkos, during Chol HaMoed, the simcha's basis Shoeva. This is, as it were, mirroring what used to take place in the Beis HaMikdash. People would dance in the Beis HaMikdash. Usually, these are what he called, people would gather around and watch the big tzaddikim, or those with big bali tshuva, etc. People who had really worked under Avodas Hashem, and that's how they would participate. Not just really quote, that's it. They would watch the dancing, and they would be really what? It would, the merriment, right? Again, merriment in a holy fashion would go on all night long. Yerushalayim was lit up. You could count coins. In the furthest part of Yerushalayim, just the lights coming from the Beis HaMikdash. There's so much ore. Zman Simchasenu. In the Talmud, in the Masechta called Sukkah, They talk about two different types of handbreadths. Handbreadths are very important in terms of measurement in halacha. A tefach, a handbreadth. Handbreadth. So there is, in the literature, the discussion in Maseches Sukkah about a tefach atzev, a sad handbreadth, and a tefach sameach, or a tefach sochek, a happy or a laughing handbreadth. A tefach atzev, a sad handbreadth, is constricted. It's constricted like this. A tefach sameach, or tefach sochek, a happy or a laughing handbreadth, is when the fingers are apart. It expands. Simcha is a sense of expansion. I don't feel like I'm locked into. Like, when do we have a simcha in life? When there's a birth. When there's a shalom zachar. When there's a kiddush. When there's a bris. When there's a kiddush ben. When there's a bas mitzvah. When there's a bar mitzvah. When there's an erusin. When there's a wedding. When there's sheva brachos. As life expands, right? That's what we call it. That's simcha. And the sense of expansion in terms of klaus, of eager, might all be, like we said before, that a person, you know, feels, you know, he's collected all of his produce, et cetera, and that makes a big impression on the person. He's very happy. But the biggest simcha is, I've rediscovered who I am after Yom Kippur. I know who I want to be. I know who on Yom Kippur I declared who I want to be, and I know that's who I really am. I know who I really am. So it's very fascinating in the Medrash. It describes the experience of Yom Kippur. Remember, on Yom Kippur, there were two goats that were brought part of the service, the temple service, among all the other korbanos. One was the Seir LaHashem, the Seir meaning the goat, that was shefted like a regular korban inside the Beis HaMikdash. Its blood was sprinkled inside the Kodesh Kodashim, inside the Kodesh, in front of the Paroches. On the Mizbeach Hazav, it was a very holy korban, and that all of its avoda took place within the structure of the Mizbeach, not in the courtyard, not on the main Mizbeach where generally korbanos were brought. He was all internal, very, very holy. And then there was another goat. The other goat was called the Seir LaAzazel. What? Right, he's pushed off the cliff. The Seir
LaAzazel.
What is it?
I
just want
to read it also. What? Say what? It's
a Zion. What's the letter
after that?
An
Aleph,
I'm sorry.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
The Zion also.
Say LaAzazel. Say LaAzazel, he's cast off a cliff. I mean, this is not a normal way. This is not a normal way of korbanos. Chazal say that essentially what's being pushed off over there, that Seir LaAzazel, that is the false persona that we may have thought was our personality, right? All year round. They're two seirim. They have to be equal. They have to look the same. They have to look the same height, etc. Two seirim. One, as it were, goes into the Kodesh Kodashim. The other one goes, right, into where? Off the cliff. And the motif, right, and standing over there is, Chazal say that the one that is the word that goes to Kodesh Kodashim, that's who we are. The one who goes off the cliff, that's who perhaps we thought we were. Right. The pasuk says, "Quelus ace shalat adam ba adam lara lo." There is a time, an ace, a time where one person shalat to have domination, ba adam ba adam, one person upon another person, lara lo, to his detriment. So the understanding normally is one person subjugates another person. But Rav Tzadok HaKohen speaks about the idea, it's not just that. It's that one time, sometimes a person has a false perception of themselves. That they've encouraged, that they've reinforced, that by doing deeds that are not positive deeds, etc., they become accustomed, well, this is who I am, this is who I am, this is who I am, this is who I am. And the real persona almost atrophies. It's powerless. It can't flourish. It can't rise up. The unique koach of the Aseret Yemei and Yom Kippurim is to be able to shed that what do you call that personality, right? And Yom Kippur, at the climax of Yom Kippur, even if it's only for a moment. Right? It's longer than that halavai, it's the whole day. Yeah? Even if it's just for a moment, at some point, right? I know who I want to be. I know who I can be. Right? I know what I don't want to be. We are able to shed that Eish Shalat Adam Adam Laralo. And that's the Seir Lazozo. That's the false persona. That goes off the cliff. That's not me. That's not me. So you can imagine now. Imagine now that as you enter into Sukkot, it's a time of tremendous simcha, of expansion. It really is expansion. Because I've shed this, as it were, this non-me that's become so predominant in the way that I look at things, the way I look at myself. I've shed it. I've freed myself. To one degree or another. I know who I can be, I know who I want to be, and I know that I'm not burdened right now with all of what you call all the garbage that I burdened myself with before. I know I'm not. Simcha. Zman Simcha Seinu. Zman Simcha Seinu. That's a moment of rejoicing. It's a moment of rejoicing in the Jew's life. Okay. There is a minhag. Yeah. In other words, expanding when you're constricted, like we said, tefach atzev. So it's like you're all bound up, you're all tight. You can't be happy because, you know, this is pressing down on me, and this is pressing down on me, and this I'm worried about, and that I'm worried about, etc. And I'm not happy with myself. Anybody call? When you've been unburdened, then you begin to expand. And that's what simcha is. Simcha is the sense of watching life unfold, become bigger before you. Like we said before, simcha is in the Jewish life cycle. When there's a birth, life is expanding. There's a kiddush. Shalom Zachar, life is expanding, right? There's a bris, a pigeon event, life is expanding. There's a bat mitzvah, life is expanding, right? A bar mitzvah, klai life, what do you call it, an erusin, right? A wedding, sheva brachas, children, more children, grandchildren, what do you call it? You see life expanding in front of you. You see the eternity, you see a microcosm of eternity in front of you. And you realize, You ever hear that? They made it into a song. It's an old song. I probably don't play it anymore. It's really taken from a mashal brought by the author of the Geshra Chaim. The Geshra Chaim, Michael Tikhachinsky, he wrote a book on death and dying. A book on death and dying. Right? How to die. Discusses it. Both in the point of view of the people there, present, and from the point of view of the person who is passing on. The larger part of the book is really about death afterwards, halachos of avelos, etc., etc., etc. He has a mashal in the beginning of a of two, right, two of twins inside the amniotic sac there. And they're both comfortable, etc., 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 inside, yeah, their mother's womb. And they have discussions back and forth. One says, you know, I believe that there's something even better after this experience that we have over here. And the other one says, I don't believe any of that junk, right? This is what we got. This is it. There's nothing else to talk about, right? And the first one says, I hear that we don't have much of a choice in it, right? We're going to have to leave here. He says, don't do it. Just hold on for dear life. And the time comes and contractions start. And when he caught it, and it's getting rougher and rougher. And the one who says, there's nothing on the outside, hold on, brother, hold on. He says, no, I know there's something that, no, don't let him! And he's gone. And his brother is left inside. So he's mourning him. Of course, he's going to wind up on the outside also soon. But right, he's mourning him. And the outside is saying, Mazel Tov, it's a boy. Right? He says, that's the mashal of life, Bechlal. That's the mashal of life, Bechlal. And the inside, right, you look around, this is all there is. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. And so, as we get older, we feel, yeah, a lessening of simcha. A lessening of simcha. Why? Because our opportunities grow less. You can have less fun. You can take less vacations. Perhaps, God forbid, a person's health begins to fail, right? And so, as that begins to shrink, so it's like, life is hopeless. Life is hopeless. Where am I going? This, it's all over, right? Life is atrophying. But in Yahadus, in Jewish thought, we understand that this is just a small part. We can't even call it part because after the corridor that we refer to as this world is something eternal that's endless and endless and endless and endless and endless. So when we see life expanding in front of us, it's not just, oh, it's here and now, though it's obviously very pleasant here and now also. But when we see life expanding in front of us, really what it is meant to jar us and think, and it keeps on expanding. It keeps on expanding. Endlessly. But it means passing through the corridor. So, in Sukkos, once we have set our sights straight again after Yom Kippurim, after we've shed that persona that we know is not really us, the egocentric, the egotistical, self-absorbed persona, or the persona that's only interested in doing that which is easiest and most convenient and not measuring against the yardstick of is the right thing to do, is what the Creator wants me to do, etc. Once we've shed that, it's a wide open world. So my whole perspective is different. My perspective is not, you know, how much longer am I going to live? Right? My perspective is, I have to live life to its fullest because life is just going to continue after that based upon what I'm doing. Simple.
I love how the history of the world giver, like, made a thing.
Well, the Chumash, it says that you'll break walks, right? You'll fast on Yisim Esnaf Shoseichem. So the idea, obviously, of Yom Kippur as being the day of atonement, associated with fasting, that's in the Chumash. Chumash, it's a Din Min HaTorah. It's a Din Min HaTorah, right? Din Min HaTorah. Certain things are added on, like from the Torah, what's prohibited is eating and drinking. All the other things, not bathing, not anointing, not cohabiting, etc., those things are really called, are not wearing regular leather shoes. Those are added on rabbinically, right? They're added on rabbinically. They're not biblical in nature. But the day itself is seen in the Chumash. You should afflict your souls. In other words, right? Don't pamper yourself physically on this day, right? Because that's not the modus operandi of the day. That's the nature. The nature of the day is to come into touch with other things. So again, I didn't understand. You're rejoicing on Sukkot because we just had Yom Kippur.
Yeah, but is that like the main point of Sukkot?
It's referred to, you'll see in Kiddush, for instance, or in Shmoneh Esrei. Pesach is referred to as Zman Chirusenu. Shavuos is referred to as Zman Matan Torasenu. And Sukkot is referred to as Zman Simchasenu, time of our rejoicing. So I said, really, there's twofold rejoicing here. There's a time of rejoicing on the one hand, this person has brought in all his crops, right? But a greater, more overriding rejoicing, and the fact is that really should spill over one onto the other, right? How to appreciate the physical success should be seen through the lens of what you call rejoicing having left Yom Kippur, right? And by the same token, also using all that physical success to promote my advancement and other people's advancement. It's a time of tremendous stucco. Right? Time of tremendous stucco, what you call it, come Sukkot time. Because when all the crops are brought in, so you've given leket and shikha and peya, right? All the different things, peret and olos, all the different things that come as you, when you harvest in your things and you bring them, etc. Time of tremendous rejoicing. Like I said, it has its physical component. It has its spiritual component. You'll be in Yerushalayim, like I said, during Chol HaMoed, right? They have Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The rejoicing of the water festival. So they have them basically every night. It's not on Yom Tov night because of bands and stuff like that. But equal to they have them basically every night except maybe Hoshana Rabbah night. There's the last night of the Sukkot, they won't have it. So Sukkot starts Wednesday night, right? So you have 2 days Yom Tov. You'll probably be able to find Motzei Shabbos, right? For sure Sunday night. Monday night, when is Hoshana Rabbah? Hoshana Rabbah is Tuesday night. Well, for Shabbat Sunday night, Monday night. Right? But you have to check about the Motzei Shabbos. They have one in the Old City. Yesh Torah, I think, sponsors it. I'm sure you can find a schedule. When are Hoshana Rabbah? When? We're going for Nitz. Fine. So now, so thinking that perhaps we could address something about Sukkah. So first of all, the Arizal says on the pasuk. It's on the structure of the sukkah. The sukkah min haTorah only requires one wall, second wall, and a partial wall. Now you tend to bigger than that. I mean, bigger, fuller than that in terms of full walls. You only need that. And a Arizal says that this is representative of the pasuk in Shir HaShirim.
Is it to the top or to the end?
Well, this is, I mean, not to the top, it's from the side.
Like
the top? No, this is not the top. This is the back wall, this side wall is the side. Okay? Right, I can't. Okay, it says, Smolo tachas roshi, v'yamino techap keni. His left hand is underneath my head, and with his right hand he caresses me. Talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam's love for the Jewish people. And that's what he called, that's the motif.
Where is that from?
Shira Shira. Yeah, right, right. Smolo tachas roshi, v'yamino techap keni. The love that the Ribbono Shel Olam has for the Jewish people. Unbelievable love. When you enter into the sukkah is called Siuta Nehemnuta. Siuta the Nehemnuta. The tzeil, the shadow of faith. The faith, the trust in Hashem. Hashem loves us. Hashem loves us. The tzeichel anoni akavod. Remember the clouds of glory that surrounded the Jewish people. On the one hand, it protected us. On the other hand, you could see the Shekhinah was there. You could see that Hashem was close to us. He didn't just protect us physically, but he was close to us. He was close to us.
Kind of a question. Mm-hmm. If you have a window, the wall still counts, right?
A window? No, window's okay.
Yeah. But that's people who have, like, it's kind of like part of their house. Like, they have the walls already outside, and
right.
It's not on top.
That's
okay.
It's fine.
It's like part of your house.
It's okay. It was very common in Europe, I think.
A wall is a wall.
Right.
So a wall is a wall.
The walls don't have to be put up with shema. The schach has to be put up for the purpose of the sale. Right? And it's better to be put up for the purpose of schach. Right? But you can just put up for the sale, just for shade. For shade. Silta. Silta is the sale of shadow. The shade of the mehenuta. Up. Din are making of. Mehenuta is the huna. The huna. Sail, shell, and muna. Sail, shell, and muna. So I thought perhaps we could just talk for a scooch about building, right? Building this new persona, fleshing it out. This new persona that hopefully we've come to grips with to one degree or another after Yom Kippur. As we enter into the sukkah. So the minhag is, right? It's an old minhag, is that we invite guests to the sukkah. Right? Guests, I mean, first of all, it's important to invite guests, just in general, the real guests. But what do you call, but there also is the idea that every night, we have another word of they call the ushpizin, the guests of the sukkah. So there are different orders, but the order that I'm more familiar with, but there are different orders. There's Avram, right? He's the main guest the first night. And with him is invited all the other guests, which we'll see. Right? The second night, the main guest is Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. Seven guests. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. They're those who do it. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, David. Right? It's the first one I'm accustomed to. Each night, again, when we invite these great, you know, personages in our evolution, in our development, right? The Avos, Moshe Aaron, right? Yosef, David, etc. It's not just the idea is that we're inviting some Kabbalistic, you know, representation, etc. But also, it behooves us to try and touch a little bit of each of the midos of those great people. Because as we are entering into the world, we're entering into the world of simcha. We've shed the false self, the seir azazel. We're thrown off the cliff. That's not who we are. That's not who we want to be. I've discovered to one degree or another who I am and who I want to be. Or really, when I say who I want to be, it's really who I am. The other stuff is just garbage that's piled up on top of me. Yeah, through my own egocentricities or through influences or through whatever it is, yeah, throughout the year. But now I'm fresh. I'm entering the world of simcha. I feel a sense of expansiveness in front of me. The vistas have broadened. I'm no longer just, yeah, hominis erectus, living, you know, for whatever number of years, you know, modern science can avail me of, right? I'm now living the life of Tzelem Elohim, who's passing through Olam Hazeh, Dom HaProzdor, is on his way to Olam Haba, and Olam Haba is L'Netzach Netzachim. So this type of person, so now within that framework. So now let's examine. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. Avram, we know, taught us two things. Avram was a master of Chesed, and Avram was the father of teaching Emunah. He taught Emunah. The two things, I mean, he fought against an entire world that was filled with idolaters. He fought against an entire world that was filled with idolaters. And yet, on the other hand, Avram is so typified by Chesed. We don't usually put the two people together. The person who's, you know, who's Mr. Chesed, no, he's very good. Come in, sit down. Want a drink? Well, maybe you want to wash your feet? Sit here. Right, it's very nice. Make yourself comfortable. Or would you like to eat? Sarah, could you prepare some little bulkies and challahs for our guests here, etc. Oh, yeah, the pickled tongue, we want tongue with mustard, whatever you're into, right? Okay, maybe you're not into it, maybe tofu. Okay, whatever the case has to be. On the other hand, he's this incredible thinker. Right? There has to be someone who's running all of this. He's absolutely dogged in his search for the truth. He tries everything. No, this is Sheker. No, that's Sheker. That's Sheker. Tried every Avodah Zarah. It's not real. Who is behind all of this? Chazal say Avram was like a person wandering in a dark forest. And he's trying to think, where are we all going? Where am I going? Where am I? And then he sees a light in the distance. He says, ah! If there's a light there, he falls like he sees there's a light in a castle. If there's a light to the castle, there must be a master to the castle. And that's when Hashem peered out at him. Heitzitzalav Balabira, the master of the castle, the lord of the manor, excuse me, I peered out at him and said, Ani Balabira, you found me, I'm the master of the universe. Lech Lecha. So Avram, on the one hand, he begins the whole process rolling. And there's no steering, there's no conflict between Avram's being this very gregarious, very friendly, very social. Come on in, sit down. Always like to eat, right? Want a cup of Cabernet, right? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's no steer, there's no conflict between that and being the great thinker, because Avram's philosophy in life is there's someone giving everything to everyone. There is a giver. The Creator is a giver. He gives creation. There must be somebody giving. And He's giving all of us. We're not just here by chance. He gave us. He's giving us our being. He's giving us our I. He's giving us our be. So his philosophy and his worldview in terms of chesed are two sides of the same coin. That's the entry into the world of Emunah. The entry into the world of Emunah starts with, there is someone who is giving me and the entire world its very being. And I'm part of that. I'm part of that. Who is this great giver? And so he imitates Hashem. He gives also. And people ask him, okay, can we pay you for the meal? He says, no, just give thanks to the Creator. And they would say, we don't know any Creator. He says, then pay me. They say, what do you mean? He said, it's free. I said, it's free if you recognize where it really came from. But if you don't recognize where it came from, so you might as well, you know how much it costs to get a bottle of Cabernet 75 miles outside of hell, right? We're in the middle of nowhere here. I give you a chilled bottle of wine. I give you what you call it, tongue. What is that thing? A tongue. again, tofu, whatever, yeah, etc. He recognizes, and that's what defines his life. Avram Ohavi, the one who loves Hashem, and that's who he's communicating. Yitzhak, who's the main invitee, the next day, again, we invite them all, but who's leading the entourage coming into the sukkah? Avram, Chesed, next is Yitzhak. Yitzhak is Gvura. Gvura turned inward. In other words, who am I vis-à-vis the Creator, the vastest of the Creator? That's the second part of a Jewish persona. It's not just all Huluk is giving us. We have to realize, who am I before the Creator? Again, not to say that I'm not worth anything, but to realize in perspective. It's like the Rambam describes in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. Ketzer aderech la'ahavaso v'yiraso. How does a person reach both Ava and Yira of Hashem? So you look around creation, and you say to yourself, I must know who did all this. I don't want to miss the show. What's this all about? I must know it. And then as you realize, wow, who am I? Who am I in all this? That's important because that causes a person not to be neurotic, but causes a person to create in his worldview. I can't possibly do something against the Creator, because I exist only as a function of his willing that I be. Avram Get is focusing on the two sides of the same coin. Avram is focusing on who gave me? Ah, oh, he loves me. And Yitzchak says, and you also have to remember, your me is only because he wills. Not I think, therefore I am. But rather, he wills, therefore I be. That's important because if you don't have that side of the stage in addition to Avram, so then, when you're in the mood, you're okay, I'm plugged in. When you're not in the mood, I'll do what I want. How can I do what I want? I exist only as a function of his will. I can't do what I want. I have to do what's right. Ava, Yira. Those are two sides of the stage of a Jew's life. Ava and Yira. Avram Yitzchak. Avram Yitzchak. Avram Yitzchak. Yaakov is the Ish Emes. Yaakov is Torah. Torah is the perfect synthesis. It brings the relationship that's defined by, on the one hand, Ava and Yira, or Ava and Yitzchak. It's defined, it's a word, it gives a definition in every act, in every event, in every relationship. The Torah has something to say. How you get up in the morning, how you use the facilities, right? How you deal with other people, how you put on your clothing, what sort of clothing you should wear, right? How you do business, how you pray, how you. Torah floods every part of life. How you deal with somebody who is nasty to you? How you deal with somebody who broke what he called the glass of your window, right? How do you, Torah, as it were, defines, it fleshes out everything that's going to transpire on the stage of life. One pole of the stage is set by Avram, the other pole is set by Yitzchak, but the synthesis of the two is found in Torah, in the emes of Torah. First night we invite Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron are the great teachers of the Jewish people, but they teach in two different styles. Right? They teach what? Yeah.
That Moshe is compared to the
horns
of
stones
and the moon.
Ah, okay. You're going with the Greek part. You're going with it in terms of Torah. In terms of Torah. I'm thinking of record,
Also, one of them is the mother or something, one of them is Aaron's more of the
Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu said his zerach was Yikov Hadin Sahar. In other words, he brings the Torah down to the earth. Right? Yaakov Avinu kept Torah, but he didn't bring the Torah for the world yet. He kept the Torah, he learned the Torah, as did his father, did his grandfather, etc. But he didn't bring it down to the earth. Moshe Rabbeinu brought it down to the earth. Moshe Rabbeinu's application of the Torah is exact. Yikov Hadin Esahar. Let the din, let the halacha bore a hole in the mountain. That comes into the primary use of that is when you have a din Torah between two people, two litigants, right? In a court case, in a civil court case. You damn it. I didn't. You didn't. You didn't. You didn't. You didn't. Moshe Rabbeinu says, let's get down to the bottom of this. Until we have the one and absolute truth. Aaron, as you say, was Oyev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Oyev Sabrios, Makarv on the Torah. Aaron is interested in bringing everyone together. Pshara. Let's not necessarily go for the absolute truth. Perhaps what we should do is let's see if we can have some sort of middle ground where we can meet. A compromise. Pshara. And it's also a value in life. Sometimes, really court, you can't compromise. Sometimes it's better to compromise. Both applications of Torah are necessary. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef. Yosef, I think there are two things that typify Yosef. Two things that typify Yosef. Yosef, on the one hand, is called Yifei Tor Yifei Mare. He's one of the few men in the Torah that's referred to as being striking. Right? Maybe one of the maybe Avshalom also to a certain degree. But Yosef Yifei Tor Yifei Mare, Rashi says Yifei Tor Ziv Ha'ukni. The Ziv, the glory, Zayin Yud Vav on his face. Ziv. Ziv, the glory of his face. The panim. Ziva uknin. The ziv of his face. The Ramchal says that panim are called panim because they show what's bifnim. What's inside. The spiritual component of Yosef was mirrored in his physical self, right? The beauty of the panim was also on his panim. That's why Yosef is called Yifei Tor, his beauty. He's that harmony of the spiritual and the physical. He's the harmony between the physical and the spiritual. That's what typifies Yosef, on one hand. The most striking experience in the Torah, like the great Nisayim of Eishes Potiphar. That's two worlds. One world of Yofi, which is about what we're familiar with from our world, yeah? And the other one, of harmony between the spirit and the report and the world of physicality. That's on the one hand. Yosef also is a master of Emuna. The tzaddik, Yosef is called Yosef HaTzaddik. Tzaddik b'emunaso yichya. The tzaddik will live, through his faith. Yosef goes through very difficult times. He's in the top. He's the beloved of his father. And next thing he knows, his brothers have cast him into war. He sold him to servitude. Right? He's successful. He resists the temptation of his mistresses, the mistress of the house. Right? Resists her temptations. And what happens? You think, okay, Hashem, a miracle. He saved from his time. No, what happens? He gets thrown into prison. Oh, what happened? He's there. Makes the kiddush Hashem and everything he does. Come to what he called the Sar Mashkim, the Sar Ofim, interprets their dreams. He says to the Sar Mashkim, perhaps you'll remember me, right? To when you come out, to say that I'm not here for any fault of my own, and I'll get out. He says two words to be Zochrim, Tizkareni, twice. He said two more years in prison, one for each word. No tainus. A tzaddik damanasa yichya. He lives in his tzidkus. So on one hand, Yosef is perfect self-control in terms of non-abuse of the system called Yofi, the harmony between the spirit and the guf. He'll only do that which he knows Hashem wishes him to do, and not that which is convenient or more immediately appealing, etc., etc. On the other hand, his great faith, Yosef. And finally, David. David is the master of tshuva. Numa gever hukam al shehekim ulo shel tshuva. He raised the yoke of tshuva. The hagever hukam al pasuk at the end of Shmuel. Thus saith the man hukam who's raised up al ayin lamed. But it's a funny terminology. I mean, it's very flowery. Why I write it like that? So Chazal say it doesn't mean he's raised up above all. He became the king. Hukam al, he raised the yoke of tshuva. He raised the all. Hukam all. He raised the yoke of tshuva. Y-O-K-E, right? We're not making Karanama. Yeah? Why? He raised the yoke of tshuva. He gave every Jew the ability to learn from him how to do tshuva. So have, as it were, as we enter into the sukkah, where we're in the embrace of the Rabbon Shem, how he loves us, and we're coming, as it were, free, yeah, unshackled from the fetters of the false personality that may have dogged us an entire year. And Yom Kippur comes, and we feel that we've shed it. And now, let's, as it were, begin to build our Jewish personality, as it were. Avram comes and gives us the drasha of the first night, and Yitzchak the second, and Yaakov the third, and Moshe the fourth, and on the fifth, and Yosef the sixth. And finally, every great organism has the capacity to rebuild itself, even if it falls. And that's David. He speaks this about tshuva. Right? And Elvashon Rabba is David's night. Is David's night. And with that, we enter into Simchas Torah. Now we can really rejoice with Torah, because we've entered into the world of Simcha, we've built ourselves, and now we can rejoice. So it should be a wonderful Zman Simchasinu, right? And hopefully you'll find some of the ideas useful along the way. Okay. A good triplet, they say, right? Should have a good, what?
I don't work with that so much, but...